Chris, from an individual standpoint, I'm sure you would have probably liked to have played better tonight. How did you feel out there?
He played great.
He did not play great. Good morning. Rockets win 104-101 in game one. That was me.
That was you last night?
Yes.
You asked Harden about Chris Paul?
I did not. I asked Chris Paul.
You asked Chris Paul about Chris Paul?
Yeah, he answered.
And his answer was that... And Harden answered?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you asked... Oh, they were up there together.
We'll have it in a few minutes.
You asked Chris Paul and then Harden answered. He played great?
Yes.
Why doesn't James Harden let Chris Paul speak for himself?
Well, I thought it was kind of endearing to myself.
Oh, sure.
I kind of liked it, but Chris Paul did not play well at all.
I wasn't genuinely. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, Chris Paul did not play well at all last night. I had two main takeaways from last night's game. Number one, if the Rockets played like they did last night and they won by three, 104-101, they'll get bounced in the second round.
They
did not play well.
All right. Did they not play well? Did they not play well, or did the non-Hardens go 4 for 25 from the three-point line?
I'm sorry.
Is 101 points by the Timberwolves such a ridiculous offensive output that no team, especially the best offense in the NBA, could possibly overcome 101 points in a game in the second round?
I was fine with the defense.
You were fine with every. What was not okay about the offense?
Was it the
scourge of missed threes?
Three pointers. Chris Paul, who's my second point.
Yeah.
Lack of production from Tucker and Ariza. Gordon gave you basically nothing off the bench, and you really didn't get a lot off the bench just in general over the night. So I would say all of that.
It's too easy to say, and this is the problem. This is the problem with sports radio covering the Rockets. Mike, it's as simple as going 4 of 25 from the 3-point line from the non-Hardens. That's all it is. That's what it was last night, particularly in the second half. By the time the Wolves realize, okay, wow, this Clint Capella is for real. This is not Clint Capella of last year's playoffs. This is not Clint Capella versus Steven Adams. This is full-grown man-child Clint Capella. And they could focus on Clint Capella and defend the pick and roll and pretty much leave everybody else who is just stone cold to their devices. And it's hard because I don't want to just pawn it off on two things, but I feel like I can. One, being cold from the three-point line. And two, simple rust. It was rust. It wasn't like, did you get a sense they came out with a lack of intensity?
Well, they were up 17-6, so right. I did not.
So there was no lack of intensity.
No.
The defense, they held a very talented offensive team and a group of playmakers to 101 points. And that's including, after giving them multiple opportunities with their multiple missed threes to grab rebounds, they took a team. What was the final rebounding tally, if you have the box score in front of you?
So Minnesota at 47, the Rockets at 37.
Yeah.
So you're down 10.
And the Wolves are a better rebounding team. But again, when you miss that many threes as well, that tends to happen.
I mean, that's the exchange you're going to take when you're starting Tucker and you've usually got smaller lineups out there.
Yeah.
I thought from this standpoint, they had to get great performances from Harden and Capella to win by three with the best team they've had in two decades against a pretty solid Minnesota team, but in a game one where they were favored by 11.5 points. So from a big picture standpoint, I was expecting them in my mind to kind of cruise to victory. That was my expectation going in. And then my second main takeaway was Chris Paul did not play well. He did not play well in this game. Now, to his credit, he hit a couple baskets in the fourth quarter. He has two free throws, so that's good. But Chris Paul was tentative. He was not assertive. He was not aggressive last night. He had more turnovers than assists, which you almost never see.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to play much, much better for this team.
Yeah. You know what, Mike? If they play like this in the second round, they'll only win in six games. That's the problem.
You're that confident.
I'm that confident. Like, okay. Mike, this is a good Minnesota Timberwolves team, for one. Like, let's not forget that. And I'm still somewhat confident that they'll sweep them because they looked like a rusty team.
That's possible.
They looked like a flat-out rusty team. I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, I wake up this morning, I went to bed immediately after the game last night, that's why your judgment is clouded a little bit, because you got very little sleep if you're there asking questions after the game.
I felt this way last night.
I know you did, but I think there's a little bit of, even though I was the one that predicted a sweep and you predicted the Rockets in five, I think there's a collective, wait a second, this is for real. And you know what? It's good for Houston. It's good for the city of Houston that we're getting this both in baseball and basketball. A little reality check. A little, it's not actually all that easy. Okay. And again, I'm not even talking about the Rockets players. I felt like the Rockets players showed up to play. I thought, particularly in the first. Clint Capella might have had the best half of basketball, considering the circumstances, considering that this was the playoffs. Was this the best half of basketball Clint Capella has played in the city of Houston?
He'll probably be one of the top three.
I'm sure statistically we could point out the offensive output, and I'm sure we're right up there. But just the fact that he showed up in versus Karl Anthony Towns, Capella was the one that looked like he should have looked. Like, he looked like the veteran player. Even though they're both young players, he showed up and he looked like he was ready for playoff action. That was really exciting. I think Chris Paul will be fine. Chris Paul's going to get it together. The biggest thing, and if there was one thing I took from last night that would have concerned me, I guess, or that kind of took me by surprise, was his turnover in the last minute of the game.
Yeah, what was that?
That whole last... Well, this is what happened. There was the free throw there with, 45 seconds left.
That Harden misses. Nobody knows what's going on.
Everybody thought that there was going to be a second free throw.
Except me.
Karl Anthony Towns rebounds the ball, takes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, turn around 6 steps, and then decides to go on a fast break down the court. No travel is called.
Yep.
And that was talking about momentum changers. Aside from the atrocity of it all, aside from the miscarriage of justice that was the non-travel call on that, because that wasn't even that's not a debatable, hey, in the NBA, everybody gets away with a travel. No. That was ridiculous. And that kind of set the Rockets on their heels a little bit. And then Paul had the turnover after that.
Yes, they were up by 3.
It got really, really, really dicey there for a second where it looked like they might be sending this thing into overtime.
Yeah, well, Minnesota, basically, if you missed the end of the game, Minnesota had the basketball down by 3 with 9 seconds to go, and Jimmy Butler got off a really shaky shot that I'm not even sure quite hit the rim. The Rockets were able to get the ball on the ensuing whatever the hell happened in the corner between Harden and Wiggins, and they basically inbounded the ball to win. But it was a game that they should have won by 2 or 3 possessions, even the way the fourth quarter went, and they didn't. So I'm sitting in the post game, and there are all these questions about, how well Harden played in Capella, and I'm sitting here to myself is anybody ask about Chris Paul? Am I the only one who's going to do this? So I asked Chris Paul. Here was the exchange after a game one win at Toyota Center last night.
Chris, from an individual standpoint, I'm sure we'd probably like to have played better tonight. How did you feel out there?
You played great.
We won. I mean, at the end of the day, I think the worst thing is them turnovers, man. I look like I was with the Bad News Bears, but at the end of the day, it's all about getting a win.
I would say this.
Better.
Well, of course he's got to play better. Of course he's got to play better. I mean, I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and have you rain on my parade of what was actually. I guess I don't know. I shouldn't be having a parade. It was a lackluster win by the Rockets in the first game. The Astros are, at this point, troublesome, I guess, is the best you could say. They're wasting good efforts by their starting pitchers. I feel poor Verlander.
Poor
Verlander goes up and lets up a one-hitter opposite of Bartolo Colon, who had a perfect game going through the 8th inning, was it?
Yes.
And it was a good night for baseball and basketball last night. I think, again, rust and going 4 for 25 from the 3-point line makes everything look a whole lot worse than what it was. Remember with Chris Paul, hasn't played all that much basketball over the last 3 weeks. Chris Paul took a couple weeks off, came back, played in meaningless games, and if it takes him 2 or 3 or 4 games to really get it together, and I don't think it will, I would predict Chris Paul comes out and has well over 20 points in game 2 and looks a whole lot like Chris Paul.
I would tend to agree. The reason why I'm a little bit concerned is there were 2 or 3 specific occasions last night in game 1 where I felt like Chris Paul was passing up shots that he would normally take.
Uh-huh.
Open threes, jump shots in the mid-range area. And there were 1 or 2 possessions in which he passed up really good looks early in the possession, and they didn't get a better one later in the possession. And that's what they can't have from him. He can't play tentatively.
Right.
And I felt like he was playing tentatively all night. Although, again, I'll give him credit. In the early stage of the fourth quarter, he was a little bit more assertive. He just has to play. The reason why I feel the way I feel is I was not expecting them to need Harden to completely bail them out and get this wonderful effort from Capella, 24 points, 12 rebounds, to win a game by 3 in which Karl Anthony Towns only scored 8 points. I think that's going to change on Wednesday and then, Friday, Saturday.
And I think probably a little bit of it has to do psychologically with not just the rust and not just the fact that this team hasn't had to play with an edge for How long now? I mean, how long has it been since they wrapped up the one seed?
Weeks.
So they haven't had to play with an edge for that long. And then on top of that is the relative ease with which they dispatched the Timberwolves during the regular season. That it was, and even though those games, a couple of those games, you know, were won in the fourth quarter, it was whenever they decided to turn on the gas or put their foot on the gas in the regular season, it was very easy to take care of it. So with Jimmy Butler back on the court and with Derrick Rose playing, Derrick Rose looking as young as he has in years with his hair, of course. But then also, I think Derrick Rose with a resurgence and a little bit unsettling for me because I didn't even want to factor Derrick Rose into the equation in this. How much did we talk about Derrick Rose?
None at all.
Not much at all.
When he stepped out on the court, my thought was basically, Seth, that, all right, they got to eviscerate Minnesota when Derrick Rose is on the court because whatever he gives them offensively, defensively, he's going to take more away. And in fairness, you know, you look at the box score, Rose scored 16. He was a minus 6, but you still feel like without that offensive production, Minnesota wouldn't have been really in it like they were at the end.
I think this pessimism out of you is a little bit surprising to me. I'm happy for it because it means you're alive inside.
Yes.
But I'm shocked that I'm coming in here being the really positive one here after a lackluster win versus the Timberwolves. Part of it, though, is... And you know what? And I've read and I heard and I was listening to Zach Lowe talk about it this weekend before this game. The fact that you look at the Wolves and they line up Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins and Jeff Teague, who in the playoffs is a
Butler.
Whole different guy, and Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose, for whatever reason, it just didn't really hit me until I'm watching last night.
Like, they got some names.
They really should be a lot. If you looked at those names and then look at Thibodeau coaching them, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense that they're the eighth seed. It doesn't make a lot of sense that they're one of the worst defenses in the league.
Well,
there's so
Butler
many things that just don't make sense about that team.
Yeah, that's
I know,
true.
But losing Butler shouldn't turn you into one of the worst defenses in the league.
The way I put it, to put a bow on it, is if the Rockets had won game one by like 10 or 15 and they won game two in the exact same fashion, I would feel better about things if they had done it in this order. But the fact that they had to squeak by with Chris Paul not playing well makes me a little bit nervous, not for this series, but just in general in the postseason. 713-572-4610. So the Rockets win. They're up 1-0. Game two is on Wednesday night. What's wrong with the Astros? Should the Texans think about bringing in Dez Bryant? We will discuss. Mad Radio on a Wednesday.